Three, two, one.
Light them up.
I'm Paul.
This is Buck.
This is the Paul and Buck Show.
Hey, the big bucking deal. Here is, download the latest app at paulandbuckshow.podbean.com.
Welcome back, Paul and Buck Show.
Paul and Buck Show, big bucking deal.
Here we are, we're doing another podcast.
We're going to do a follow-up. We're just going to, me and Paul have been talking, you know, we're just going to discuss a couple things that weren't discussed in the episode before, but
there's always something to plug in that we always usually miss.
Basically, yeah, so like it was discussed that, yes, Paul does some artwork. He does that on the side.
Right.
You know, he does t-shirts, whatever you guys are looking for. So not necessarily plugging that, but just the fact that, you know, we all have other things going on. You know, this is not our main focus, if you will. So
we do this for fun.
We do this for fun.
And because we like the atmosphere, the drag racing world here. And there's a lot of stuff that happens in the 512 that's just either it's not known about or like there's two different. I like to say there's two different sides to the 512. One is, you have the car enthusiast world, traditional rides, and then you've got the upscale modern cars. There's a lot of pages that have come about. There's cars you can't touch now. You had Lamborghinis, Ferraris. I mean, you've got stuff. This stuff was never heard of in Austin until, I guess, the last 10 years. A lot of movement.
Right.
A lot of movers who've come from other states have brought in, cars that you just don't see anymore. I mean, I remember when I would say, hey, how come I can't see a Lamborghini on Mopac? and somebody would always say, well, it's because these guys aren't here. They don't, you know. But little by little, you started seeing the GT40s. Then now you can go down to Westlake, you know, the lake. Dude, there's a band of Lamborghinis just cruising around, a bunch of teenagers. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
What the hell? You can't touch that, you know.
It's different.
There's a different category of groups of people nowadays that they all do their own thing.
Right.
And so even though we have a podcast, we can bring in people, and then there's some that will never reply because they're too much either of a high profile or they just, this is not their interest.
Yeah, it's just not their interest. And, right. You know, they're just in the game because, you know, they're fortunate enough to, you know, have that type of success or wealth, whatever right. It may be, but yeah, you're right. I mean, this is not everybody's niche,
right? And these guys, they stick together. That's the difference between what we do and how they get along is that they stick together. They know that they're not from the 512. They recently moved here, and so they carry on in their own world of organization, and they bring money, and so therefore they can afford to either put on events or to promote somebody that they feel needs promoting, and next thing you know, they're huge.
They're in the green zone. Right. They're good.
Right. So what we do on this podcast, it's not to compete with somebody else who has a podcast, or it's not to make a name for ourselves. Right. We do it because we grew up in the world of drag racing, not just car shows. We grew up with mom and pop. We grew up with parents who did this long before anybody moved here. And you guys are still drag racing out there. And nobody hears about you. Nobody knows about you. When you go to the track, it's only this small group of us that see you there.
Right.
And we want to just showcase anybody who goes out there, whether you were street racing or whether you've been track racing or a little bit of both, or you're retired, or now you just go to the car shows because you feel that drag racing is just not it for you anymore. And it is
right.
So that's what we do, at least from my personal take. From Buck, maybe he has a different opinion on that. I mean, Buck, what do you think?
I mean, it falls down that same highway because, you know, you mentioned about, yeah, so you may have got it, and you may not even got out of the game. It just matter like, okay, I slowed down for whatever reason, this, that, you know.
Cars progress, they get faster.
Knowing that, you know, your car is still there, you know, it's just a matter of like, okay, And you said it, that so some of these new classes that are coming about, which is great, like I said, it's sparking somebody like, hey, okay, that's something in my liking. Because,
right.
You know, if you go back, I say it over and over, man, because, you know, I'm in that realm.
Well, it's a reminder. It's a reminder.
So literally, you know, 2016, you know, my son was born.
Right.
Stopped, my car's running, boom. 17, I went out like 3 or 4 times in 17, right?
Yeah.
So he was 1 year old. So, and after that, that was the last time, 17. So from 2017 till now, I mean, God, I mean, you just can't believe how much has changed. So, and I'm not saying me for anybody. I'm not speaking for anybody else. But, you know, somebody could say like, okay, things have changed. I don't see, you know, I don't feel like I want to participate in what, you know, the type of racing right. going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not necessarily that they got out because, you know, they're always going to have their car and the feel of racing. Everybody gets that adrenaline, right? That
right.
That doesn't go away. It is a matter of them saying, hey, okay, maybe I can, you know, be better off doing, you know, helping somebody out
right.
that participate. Or I can, you know, help Tune do this or... you know, this and that, but you know,
right.
being that some of these new classes are coming out, you know, maybe like, okay, this is gonna spark the interest. Okay, maybe I will come out. You know?
Yeah,
and that's kind of, you know, for me, because you asked how I felt
right.
about it. That's where I'm at. You know, that's where I'm saying, okay,
right.
like, I literally, my car's been running for a while. It's, you know, and to the point where it's like, okay, I'm not really rushing to do anything.
Right.
You know, but now I'm. You know, there's gonna be a time here in the near future, very, very near future, that you know, I'm gonna make my way out.
You know what? You know, here's what I've seen, because I had a kid right around the same time that
right,
you did.
Right.
But prior to that, I already had two kids right. that took all my time, so my car is just kind of sat. I didn't even have time to take them to a show, because
right.
The expenses of being a real mom and pop, real world,
right.
You know, Monday through Friday work,
well,
and you're raising kids. You don't always get the opportunity to do your side
right.
your side gig, but along with that, we're also not in our 20s. A lot of these people who've been doing this for a long time, as you get older, your car progresses and it gets faster. You put better parts on it, but it's not necessarily about the parts and the status of your car. It's just all about where technology makes a change
right.
that people don't foresee. Like, for example, right now, all you hear is electric, you know, cars, electric car, electric car, electric car. And everybody smashes on an electric car. And then all of a sudden, when somebody's got deep pockets, they'll take an EV car that they can buy. Like, for example, a Copo or the Mustang or a Tesla.
Right.
And they go to the track. And they come back with, holy shit, this thing just whooped the fastest car I got in my garage.
Right.
And then they can go drive it tomorrow to the grocery store.
Right.
So they come away with a different taste, right? Their whole different perspective that they now know. And it's the same thing with us.
Yeah.
I'm not even a boomer. I'm X, Generation X, right?
Gen so, X,
I, you know, boomers, yeah. you know, they kind of set the pace for us and then we kind of made it better, you know,
yeah.
you know, with
our fathers. And,
yeah, yeah, with so. Specific yeah. cylinder heads, intakes. No more did you have to go out there port and polish shit. I mean, you
right.
had CNC machines and all that shit, right?
Right.
Electronic, computer control. So with that said, you know, why are so many cars being parked? And how come you don't see them at the drag strip? Well, one of the big things that has caused the big change is the technology that's come out with the platforms today.
Right.
One little turbo, little EFI computer changes the game, and that forces your high dollar car you've been throwing money at for a long time to sit in a garage, because now this little turbo car is right on your door.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can build duplicates, and all they have to do is pass that torch to the next kid that wants to run.
Right.
And so now there's two, then there's multiply 3, 4, 5, you know, it's like a whole world of baby kids, you know, with turbo. And so, but that's now, if you realize it, now that's coming to a slow, because nobody can get that fast anymore. So now they've reached the limit. So now the cars are coming back to, let's slow it down so people can enjoy it. So that's what I'm seeing now, you know? I mean, and it's not because we talk about it. It's because this is what people have always wanted to do, is just go have some fun.
Right, right. That touches bases a little bit, because that seemed like what's happening, because, you know, once some classes, you know, and I mentioned a lot to you, there's that, you know, get in where you fit in, right? You know, right. It's
and there used to not be, no option, right?
It was always going to be either this or that. So, to your point, to where, it does have a lot to do with that. Like I said, you got to, you know, keep up with the technology. You know, if your car's there, right? If you're up to that par, you know, and let's say, for example, for me, like if you sat out for a couple of years, well, then you're that. You're behind, right? You're behind eight balls.
So. Oh, I mean, look how much has changed.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even go to the store now and look forward to the next magazine because online killed it. So a lot of these magazines that used to carry us back in just say 10 years ago, nobody wants
to
buy a
magazine. Well, that is dead. I mean,
everybody's Instagram. Everybody's videoing. Yeah. Everybody's podcasting. Everybody's YouTube podcasting. Yeah. And so now that's the next big thing because nobody wants to read an article, or nobody wants to see you on Facebook. They want to, you know, they want to see these photos, and Instagram is kind of what shows everything that's happening today. So I guess all that progression kind of kills whatever you've been doing for a long time, and either you adapt or you park.
Yeah. I mean, that's you're right. I mean, so you know, the technology, you know, the everything that evolved from, you know, years past is blooming. But, you know, then there's still the guys out there. There's still the guys out there who are kind of old school, you know, carbureted, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, they're having fun. So that's sparking everything back, right?
Right.
Because, like I said, you either have deep pockets to go run, you know, a class race or grudge or something like that. You know, there's deep pockets there. And or you can kind of get back into where what's blooming here locally, you know, some of the things that, you know, that some local promoters, you know, like Tamayo and Kenneth.
They know what's working.
Yeah, so they're going with it and they're rolling and it's working and it's happening. So you got to applaud them. So it does come down to, you know, and it's not even really the passion for race, because we all have the passion. We all have it. We all love it. We all like the sound. We all like the smell. You know, the noise. You know, it's there. It's just a matter of, you know, when you have time, and if you have time, you got to go and commit.
Right.
It's committed. You're either in or you're out. So once you're fully committed, then there's no holding back. Because, I mean, you know, we've all been there. Kind of go back. You know, it was a point where, it was every month. We're racing every month. Boom, it was happening. You thrash on your car, you get it done. You know, so I've all been there. It's not saying that I've disliked it. I'm shied away from it. It's there.
Well, inflation also has a lot to do with rounding out what it takes to take your car out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember back on one of our earlier podcasts, we had Tommy on here, and he touched on something, and he says, look, in the next few months, you're going to see a lot of cars going up for sale. The economy is going to change. He said something along those lines. We can go back to the podcast. And because he sold his car, right? And I don't know what the reasons were. You know, temptation, right? Somebody gives you enough money, you'll sell it. But he did say, I may buy another car, because in the near future, people are going to be unloading their stuff. Because what that means is, because of the higher rates, inflation. And look at it now. Some parts are just not available. You can't get certain tires. Sometimes they're there. Sometimes it's just out of stock. I go on the internet, and sometimes I'm like, damn, everything is out of stock. No telling when they're going to restock that one item. Like, say Amazon or Summit Racing. Just some shit you just can't find, you know? And so I've noticed, and I'm like, wow, I wonder if I'm noticing it here in Texas, I wonder if other states are really starving for these items, because the economy's still pretty good here in the 5-1-12, and but so I mean, we don't feel too much of an impact.
It's not really the inflation. It's all about the supply chain. That's what it is. It's materials. They can't get the materials in because, you know, there's that little debacle, and it snowballed, you know, where they all these freight box, you know, freighters are out, you know, abandoned because nobody wants to work. And it's still a thing today that even though they have the people getting stuff off the container ships, they don't have people to work to unload it, drive the truck. You know, they don't have the
so everything's just stockpiled.
So everything's just kind of low and it's sitting there. So it delayed everything out. And then once you get everything delayed out, then the supply and demand goes through the roof, and then you're kind of just
Seeing prices going up. I've seen wheels that were say $150 now are $400.
That has everything to do with
inflation. And out of stock. I'm like, how did my these wheels that I've got go from $200 to $500 or $400 and something and out of stock, telling when. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but you used to buy the 29.5 10.5 slicks for $230. They're almost $300 now. So it's crazy.
So I think that's what I see that causes either a distraction or a postponing for people to come out and drag race.
It might be, but I mean, again, if the passion's there, it's not going to matter. You're going to go racing whether it costs a lot of money or not. You're going to do it.
Because one thing that I'm seeing is a lot more of a downsized hot rod drag racing now. That's what I'm seeing. More of a streetable, obtainable car. That you can throw together. It's not as difficult to and they win races. It's still fun. You can still see it.
Yeah.
But it's not being put together like it used to be back in the day. Now it's some kind of LS contraption. It's not a big block. And if there is a guy rolling around with a big block, he's kicking ass, right? But expense.
If you go to Michael Hollis's race, mm-hmm. and even like the race they had last week.
Yeah, well those were the big boys playing.
They're packing the place.
Yeah. Like I said, Texas doesn't suffer that much yet.
You're right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Inflation, kick people in the face because you still got towing expenses.
Yeah.
You got,
the truck will,
You got gas for the generator, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, it's an added cost. But like I said, if the passion's there, it's not going to matter. You're just gonna
cut corners on other stuff.
You may cut corners, but are you gonna go in debt even further or something? You're just gonna do it,
right?
It's one thing to say that when you see all these people who got the making all these races and mm-hmm. doing everything, they own their own business.
They do.
I mean, that's what you see. They own their own business. Everybody you see that at a track, pretty much that's. Rock, they got one way, shape, or form. They got income, and they got the niche. They're in a business that's successful, so they're doing what they got to do. So, it's rare that you can see of some folks that are grinding and just got stuff paid cash that's just working. Mm-hmm. So, they're out there, but at the end of the day, I do kind of see that. Like I said, there's that class that's more of the everyday, mm-hmm. and that is getting the big thing. So, like, Tamayo, some of the slow class, I think, that one count they had, like I said, I don't, for whatever reason, I didn't go to the last one, but anyway, they had a good car count. So it's a good count. And you see these same guys from the other races that are so. It's popular. It's kicking. Right?
And it's the cars that I see at sometimes hang out at shows.
Yeah.
Car shows. Yeah, I'm not talking about like a major car show. I'm just talking about a Friday, Saturday night.
A drive-in show,
They're drivable cars, unless they're a little too much straight. Alcohol or something crazy. Right. But the majority of them, they can tune them and detune them and drive them to that's what I'm getting at is that when they change, when technology gives you. The advantage to be able to make a car that'll fit what you want to do, it's either do I bring out my old race car and start prioritizing how much money I'm going to have to allocate to that car because, you know, it, that baby likes to drink, you know, or that thing's going to require some rods at some point, you know, how many hours we got on this thing. And so, you know, so it makes you consider, do I pull out that car or do I wait or not? And do I have fun in a 5-year-old Mustang or some kind of junkyard jewel you just came up with and have some fun with it. And that's what I'm seeing as a lot of that coolness to a degree. And that's what makes it kind of hard because those little things, they'll survive all day long, right? And they'll run just as fast as your car. Your car can take all the abuse, but it's going to cost you more. And these guys, they won't have to spend that much. Yeah. Until they move on to the next category.
You know, the other thing, too, is that when you get to some of these cars, you know, not necessarily cutting corners, but, you know, you go look at some cars, I mean, they're just a shell. I mean, they're gutted.
Yeah.
Some are not. Some are true, like, off the showroom, you know, that have some mods that are quick, like, you know, your Hellcats and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know some of the cars that are winning. I mean, they're gutted. They're fiberglassed out.
It's an egg shell.
You know, that's what it takes, right? And you know, and you know, light cars with big engines, they're gonna be fast.
You know, and it was the same thing. Back when I was like 19. If you had a big block, and you show up with some sportsman heads or you know something. You're fast, right? You're running like 11s, you know, 10s. You know, back then, not everybody would run nitrous. But then here comes a kid who doesn't have deep pockets. He does really work at some tune-up shop, right? And what does he do to be fast? And he wants to be, you know, he's got a quarter jet and a 350. He guts the hell out of the car. And he's running like 11s. So you're like, damn, he's running faster than me. But then you look at his car and you're like, holy shit.
And that was the thing, you know. You know, it was the thing that, you know, I wouldn't even go back to the, like, to late 80s, you know, when I started getting, you know, driving and you know, fucking around in high school and stuff, that, you know, you had a fast car. There were race cars. They were like, you know, they were like little race cars that, you know, you had some of the hitters that would pull out race cars on trailers and go to Decca Lake, you know, and run against like a street car. So, that's always been the notion: light car, big power, fast.
Yeah.
And then you know, I've say it all the time, but like I said, I came about where, you know, if you have a fast car, if it's with what it shows on your title, then I mean, you're fast. That's the nature of a true street car to me. But at the end of the day, people do it. I'm not opposed to it because that's what you got to do. You got to work the system. You got to do what's right. But every time. So, when you start looking at the dollar per horsepower, and then you go look at a dollar per weight loss, I mean, it costs a lot of money to lighten up a car. I mean, it's one thing to go and just cut something, but it's one thing to keep it within a safety factor structure.
That's true.
And then, you know, but then if you go hang like some fiberglass door, not even doors, just like a you know, take the bumpers off or, you know, back in the day, people used to drill like hole saws in their front subframe. Take you know a little bit, a little ounce
control
of weight.
Arms,
all that stuff. So it's like, I get it, but you know that's just taking away a whole characteristic of a car.
Well, if you also lighten the hell out of a car, you also get the car flexing.
Yeah,
but well, that's the thing. The whole deal is that you have to have a cage in it and then you're gonna be right back at the weight.
And, you know, when you do a milestone cage, you're not netting nothing, but you know, you do chrome moly or something, you might get back a little bit.
Right.
But you're putting it right back in. The weight you're taking off, then you got a structure with some cage and then you're right back where you're at. So I mean, you know,
but they're doing it. That's the point.
That's
right?
The thing they're doing. And again, so by no means not discrediting nobody, because that's what you're doing, and that's what you got to do. Like I said, if you get a light car and you make it go down, hey, you're working. You're testing, you're tuning, you're dialing in, and you're making it work. I mean, by all means, that's not what I'm saying.
I guess when you finally take that car and you take it to a track where you're running prep, that's when you realize there's a guy sitting here who's done it longer.
Yeah.
He's got the actual motor power to carry his weight, and your car might be lighter. you may make a little bit less horsepower. But this guy may out just power you because he's been doing this for a while. He can go down the track because he's done it over and over and over. And that's where you learn to run what prep track is. Right. Which it's been all along, you know, unless you go back to street, you know. Then it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, you know, just to kind of go back on you know, the evolution or the technology, you know, where we're going is that there's so much things now that you can do with tuning that, you know, it's either going to win or lose races. So, you know, you got to give credit where credit, because if they're making the right change on certain things with the combination you have, that's what it takes. You know, that's testing. That's you're getting down and you're making it happen, which it's not easy. You know, so and you got guys that are doing it. So when we started talking about you know, the slow class, I guess, is that those cars are doing, you know, 650, that's literally like a 10-second quarter. Yeah. So I mean that's not slow.
No, that's not slow. That's actually
But that's the nature, that's what everybody can fit in. That's what like everyday guy.
That's a car with a pro charger, a serious pro charger setup, serious suspension.
Yeah.
Or it's gonna be some guy with a turbo really pushing it.
Right. Yeah.
Light car. You know,
and everything on a no prep, it's all about controlling your wheel speed. And you know, you gotta make the right changes. You can't make a, you know, put a, you know, so much degree of timing back in and add that much horsepower, you're dead, right? So
yeah.
So it's You still got to plot them, right? So, but I give them credit because they're making it. They're doing what is needed. I guess you could say what is needed for just anybody, not somebody with a fast car with a big turbo LS motor is, you know, taking the money. They're doing something for everybody.
You know, when you go to the big race up north, mm-hmm. where all the drag radio street looking cars show up, it's not all LS power. They got big blocks.
You'll see some big blocks, and you also can see some Hemis. I mean, that's a big thing now. So, like you know, Lights Out, you know, Georgia, and then they had an Alabama drag radio deal. You know, everything radio. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got big blocks, you got big block Fords, you got small block Fords, you got some badass small block Fords that are running some deep numbers. And then of course you got Hemis, right? You know, you got, that's like radio versus world. But when you start getting into like a X275 mm-hmm. limited and stuff like that, yeah, they got, you got big blocks, you got small block Fords, man. You know, the LS.
I recently caught a picture of,
when I say small block Fords, this is like a, 500 inch,
yeah,
considered small block Ford with some badass head. So yeah.
And a Windsor Junior.
Yeah.
You know, I caught a glimpse on Murillo's page. His motor, you know, he's building his car back up. Dude, mm-hmm. it looked like he had a Hemi in there.
I think he did. I think I did see something about
saw,
that.
I saw Hemi heads, is what I saw.
I think he did go to another combination.
Yeah. So anyway,
I mean, he's getting him. I mean, that's everybody's been there, right? So he's. Mm-hmm. I think he was big block Ford forever, right?
So. Right. Die hard, true die hard. So yeah, there's three categories I would think, and I, you know, the first two, top two, are extremely expensive to get into, and so that leaves the 650 class as entry level for even a well tuned car and also a newer car that you can still modify with, say, a supercharger, bolt-on stuff, and enjoy drag racing. And so that's what I see as very popular right now, because I'm not seeing, unless you go to, you know, like Big Sleepy's got the little hitters, and that's where you start seeing those cars come out of the garages, and those are the fast.
Yeah, like, so that's the thing.
I enjoy watching those, but man, I know I don't want to put that much money into a car, because then I'm just stuck with just hitting those events, you know.
That's the thing.
It's an operation now. It's not fun.
I think that's Well, it's been heard because, you know, it's like one thing. Okay, yeah, I look forward to running your vet, but you only run it like once or twice a year, you know. So he's already had, or he will have two events.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got two more. So he's brought it out there, right? So it's more than just one event, more than just two events, which is good, you know. And that's the thing about when you do look at fast cars, they don't run an event every week. They mm-hmm. spread it out because, I mean, those fast cars, they require maintenance. You got to go do stuff in between races. So they're fine with making like six events a year. That's fine for them.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I mentioned it too, you know, about, you know, back in the day, you know, it was fun. Didn't, you know, it wasn't a lot of money in it, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can buy just non-aftermarket stuff. Then, yeah, you can go race twice a week, twice a month, right? Twice a month, boom, boom, boom. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
We did it for a long time. Every 2 weeks we were racing. You weren't that fast. You weren't deep into like the expense of a motor. You know, it was simple. And so people who say now who do got big operations, when I say not even bigger operations, but cars that run 5.0s that run big sleepy stuff, yeah, they're not gonna want to run like twice a week. I mean, right. There's just no way they can do it. I mean, not necessarily because of expenses. That may have a big part of it, but you know, the maintenance. You know, you gotta, you know, check stuff out. You know, you can't just go and put your car in a trailer and just leave it there to the next race and then go fire it up and race again. You know,
right.
It requires maintenance. And so people are fine with that. You know, if you have an event once a month or even six times a year, it seems like they're okay with that now. I mean, that's the norm.
It seems, as long as you put in these slower cars to go have some fun, it carries the event. Because the faster filler, cars around here... Yeah. What's the car count that you've seen so far?
As far as in the fast cars?
The fast ones.
I mean, you know, on average, at least eight. At least eight. I mean, there could be up to 16. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, but, you know, consistently, I've seen eight. There could be more. I might be wrong, but that's what I see. So consistently, there's usually about, you know, 8 to 10 cars that are always going to be there, whether it's the same car or not. It's always, you know, 8 to 10 cars.
About that.
Yeah. And, you know, so... You know, obviously a great event would be, you know, 16 cars
of those,
or more.
Or more.
More, that would be great. But on average, it's about 10, 8 to 10.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I always see that's always successful, and it's just how I kind of just observe and I see what works and what doesn't work. So when these gasser cars were coming up, which was something completely new.
Right.
Everybody was bitching. I mean, there was like a big feud because everybody wanted to join in, right? Mm-hmm. And they were getting kicked out. You've got the wrong decals. No, that's not lettering that looked in the city. Or, hey, you don't have a straight axle or you don't have a four-speed. What? Screw you. I have an automatic car. You're making, you know, you don't want my car because I'm like, no, it's not that.
Right.
It's that the event that was being put on at the early days had rules so that they could carry an event to every circuit or to every drag strip that they would lock in, right? And so it didn't matter how many cars would go race. Like normally you're like, what's the car count this time? That, you know, if we hold up. No, these guys were taking a show on the road. So these guys had a group of cars all identical within the rules. The paint jobs, the wheels, tire, you can no bigger than a 29 and a half. You have to have a straight axle. All these minimum requirements, right? That if you didn't have those, you can't be part of the circuit. And then if you do be part of the circuit, you have to attend the car count to go to the events that are planned for the year. And so the events kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the cars kept growing. And I kept thinking, I'm like, damn, why is that successful? But yet in today's cars that we talk about right now, we just spent like 15, 20 minutes talking about them.
Yeah.
How come it doesn't work? It doesn't sell out like that. It's always on a graph that goes up and down. You know, either they missed something on the event and the show didn't do well. And then the next show comes around and it's like the same show. But why the hell did it do so much better? And it all has to do with what I realized is that it's this simple. You see drag racing, and then you see events being put on right to where you just go and attend, and then you look at monster trucks, you look at wrestling, you look at NASCAR. These guys take a show and they already have their racers, and they put on a show wherever they go. Like monster truck, there's always a car count of certain. You're always going to see the same monster trucks. You know what I mean? When you go to the show, it's always going to be, you know, this color truck, that color truck.
Right.
They're going to do a jump. They're going to do this, the obstacle course. And at the end of the show, they park, and there they are. Boom, you get to see and take photos with them. And then that's what I started seeing with the gassers. I'm like, wow, look at this. There's this many gassers. They're all cool. They're all badass. They're all parked at the end of the event. It doesn't matter where they went. They're bringing in the crowds. I mean, to a point to where they were selling out. And some of my friends, like Mark, and they're like, hey, man, have you been up to East Coast and seen these events? They're a sellout. I'm like, why? He's like, man, you just have to go.
Yeah.
And then I get the ones to where some guy tried a race, and they didn't allow him to run independently because the track was only for the gasser event, and he didn't meet the qualifications for his car to be part of that circuit. So... Yeah. So the guy's like, he leaves with the bad print. Like, man, my car wasn't good enough. No, it's just that they were having a private show. When people do drag races here, not one car gets denied. Not you just have to enter the event and enter your class, and you go. But does this guy belong to a group? No, you may not see him the next time.
Yeah.
So that's what it becomes unreliable. So that's what I saw with the gassers, and it's real successful. It's not that they have high tech. It's just the way they're managing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that some of these guys, if they promote in a certain way where the car count or the racer is always going to be there no matter what, 18 cars, let's say a minimum of 20 cars every single time, minimum 20 cars, it becomes a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen that yet. I know I'm just talking, but somebody listens, and you may see something like that. But without having some kind of organizational stuff, and Santov does very good at trying to promote that here with gassers. I think it's just unfortunate. There's too many high-tech cars here that nobody wants to go build a gasser to meet those rules. Because if you look at his rules, they're not easy to follow.
I hear you.
You have to build technically a car for it,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
So he has a count of, like, I think 10 cars. He's had a 10-car count for, like, the last 5 years. But when they do show up at Little River, he's closed off. Another car can't park within his area.
Yeah.
And when it's time to go run, it's only the group. There's no other car in between.
Right.
So it's pretty badass. And so anyway, he can carry on an event. So I don't know. Maybe if I saw like a bunch of, say, little hitters, you know, or guaranteed at every event that they put on, 20 cars maximum, minimum.
Yeah.
It always you always see a show. Yeah, it's always going to put on a show, you know. So that's just my take. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're riding the wave because, you know, that little wave of, well, the gasser still hits, right? And it was pretty good this past weekend, right?
Yeah. It's still independent.
Yeah, they're still independent. But, I mean, ultimately, like I said, they still put on a good show. And there's a rave there. And I'm sure that there's always things, like Santa said, that there's always something that comes up with the racer that, you know, he always gets a call in, say, hey, who's going to make it? And then it's always the, yeah, I'm going to make it. And then, you know, they don't make it. And then the car count's low. Then there's always reason. You know, there's family. There's things that always come up. So it's going to be big. And, you know,
so out of 20 cars, he's got so
there's usually
15
like,
guaranteed to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and I guess this past weekend, there's maybe like four or five. I don't know.
Right.
That show. Anyway, so. It's the same old dance. We understand. Like I said, it happens. Some of those, you know, those members, are, you know, they may originally say that, yeah, well, they're going to go. Something comes up. So it happens. But, you know, but on top of that, like I said, it's big. It's still big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, if it gets more traction, then it's going to be even more bigger.
Yeah. The only thing that I think that's impossible here is that, just nobody's willing to build. I mean, literally, the car is built from frame on up. These are aluminum floorboards.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shell sitting on top, chromoly straight axles, and, you know, race brakes. I mean, disc brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the motor, man, it has to look the period. You know, they're aluminum heads and all that, but it looks, you know, try running mechanical injection shit.
Right.
So anyway, that's what these guys do. I don't see many modern drag racing organizations following that concept. It's a different concept. I don't think it's a bad concept. It's just different. But for small mom and pop track, I think if you had a locked in event that would guarantee these cars to come back every year or every three events or something like you know, they can always say, oh yeah, but you know, we're gonna have an event, we're guaranteed these cars are gonna show up, you know, not not what do you think, you know. Well, you know, no names, it just, you know,
just show up.
So I don't know.
I mean, you know, it's a, you know, it's a thing, and it's gonna come around. I mean, so in everything that we're saying here, by the way, that's, these are just our opinions, right?
They're
so
just opinions.
They're just opinions, and there's, by all means, there's no merit to what we say. It's just, again, just two guys bullshitting. But ultimately, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, is that, you know, we do this for fun.
Yeah.
You know, we do this just because, you know, we enjoy it. We get to talk racing. You know, we get to bring in some great guests. But to kind of go on top of that is that, you know, we mentioned it, but, you know, the past week, we didn't, we skipped an episode, or we skipped a week because, you know, we're busy. You know, Paul's tied up. I was literally tied up doing something that I'll talk a little bit more at another time, but it's a project that I've been working on, a wiring project that, if everybody doesn't know, I do kind of wiring on the side. But
say the name again, your
Syntex,
title.
Syntex Wiring Solutions. So, but so I've been really tied up doing a few things, so we didn't do an episode, so... By all means, you know, don't get, you know, don't get anything in the mind that, you know, it was just a matter, we're tied up, we're busy.
Yeah, well, I, you know, on my side, I do, everybody knows I do t-shirts. Yeah. I don't, I haven't done many local here, because I get a lot of up north in Canada where gas or racing is still real big. I still get requests. Man, New Zealand was one of them. That's unique.
Yep.
I've gotten some from Australia. So sometimes I'm always, you know, doing artwork. Another thing that I do I just, you know, I've built a few model cars for some of these Gasser guys ship them out. Right. So that's, that also takes time. And then, of course, I'm raising a family still. My buddies, my three boys, they love cars. And so you probably won't see me at a track, but you'll see these guys later on because they're always under the hood and they don't want to take out a shed car. So they won't take it. They'll take it to a car show, but if they're going to go get a race, they know that they need to put more into it. And
So basically, the point being is that, so we're usually tied up if we're not doing something, you know, weekly. But anyway... Just FYI, everybody. Yeah, we do have our normal routine, but, you know, again, we do this for the fun. We do it for individuals. You know, it's just
the mom and pop.
Yeah, the mom and pop
of 5-1-12 that go to the track and they see all this that we just talked about.
But we still
struggle to go out there and participate or spectate. And we just want to bring you on. I don't have competition. I really don't care what other people are doing.
Right.
We're just going to to put a face with the car.
That's it. Like, and that's the whole purpose, right? So, you know, by all means, you know, we definitely enjoy having folks on. We get to talk, get to see different sides of things and perspectives of their thoughts of the future of racing, you know, just, you know, it's fascinating. So we bring that to you out there in the podcast world, and we're gonna continue doing it.
Yeah, so, and if you have a shop, you know, and that's how you make your ends to drag race and to feed your family or yourself. Come on to the show. Let's talk about how you got started, how you opened up your business and how you made it a business on your hard earned knowledge and your well put together race car that keeps you happy and motivates you to keep going. That's what we want to put on here. We, you know, I'm sure there's guys out there that just, they have money to play all day long, and we may not get feedback or callbacks from these guys, but there's many local level 5-1-12 people out there that just enjoy building a car, and they work at it to put some stuff into it. Right. So if you want to come on and hang out with us, come on out and we'll put a plug in to your business, to your mom and pop organization, whether your lawnmower business or barbecue or just selling something on eBay or Facebook, you know, whatever you do, just let's have some fun, man.
That's it. So again, we just want to come to you real quick on that. And, you know, with all that being said, you know, like Paul said, if you guys, you know, want to come on a show, give a shout out to your business or your establishment, you know, by all means, we're definitely all about local, and it's even better. You know, it doesn't have to even be car related. You know, just whatever you want to talk about, and something that's local. So, with that being said, okay.
Hey, let's not forget. Let's plug in some of the cool characters that have come on Facebook. And related to our world of drag racing. Hey, y'all got to check out Boogie's Top 5. He's got his own podcast. Before, you guys would just see him commenting on Facebook. And he opened up a podcast. I've seen some of his reels. They're really good to listen to and check out. And plus, he promotes Big Sleepy's events. So there's always good stuff coming out of that.
Good point.
Also, one of the racing teams that go out there, that's also, Killer Bee? Drew, he also has a nice sidestep comedy that he just came up with, Uncle Drew or whatever he's got going on. That's also funny as hell. So keep up with him. I'd like to see more of that stuff come on maybe his own page to talk about his race events. It's all drag race related here. So we hope more people get inspired to create something for our atmosphere of drag racing at Little River and whatever else, wherever else you go.
There you go. Race. Man, good point.
Come on to the show, man. We just, whatever you guys want to do, it's great. It's great that we've seen some cool stuff pop up. Tamayo, I think you said you might do a podcast. That'd be great too, because that'll tell more about your races that you've been promoting on the Top End.
Good point.
So if you got time to promote, you know, to get that rolling. Man, that's great, because that's more for the 5-1-12. So
that's it.
Let's see what you got going on, man. And
yep.
Racebook land, listen in, and don't hesitate to send us a message that you'd like to come on, because definitely we will put you on our list to get back with you, okay?
That's it. Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and just close out today. Yep. And like I said, you guys stay tuned. More shows will be coming up. And until next time.
Check out my page, Paul Hardez, HRDEZ, for all my artwork. For the artwork that I do and the model cars that I build, that's just my enjoyment that I put out there. And so if you ever want to see whatever I'm up to, you can always check it out. You can always check out Buck at his page also, Syntex Wiring.
Syntex Wire Solution, and also go check out Central Texas Streetcar Association, all on Facebook.
Yep, long time club that he's had, and that's where you'll see all the cars.
All the cars, all the members, all the news, just car related stuff. So,
yep.
Guys, get a shout out. And so anyway.
One last.
Yep.
For you guys that want to know about the history of the 5-1-12, the drag racers from here.
The 5-12.
There was an organization, just like in California, the Highland Lakes Timing Association.
There you go.
HighlandLakesTimingAssociation.com. You will see all the history of all the old school racers that came up in Austin from Temple to the outskirts of South Austin. And you can see, I've got some articles in there and photos of these guys. So if you want to see a little bit more about what you got yourself into drag racing today and who influenced you and who influenced these tracks, go check it out, man. Go check our page. You can also see our podcast there. It's on the very top page. And if you'd like to be added on to the page as a sponsor, let us know. We can plug up your logo in there as well.
There you go.
We're always available, like I said, to promote you guys. We're nonprofit when it comes to any of that stuff. But if you have an event or whatever and you want us to put you on there, we can do it as well. But that's what that page has always been there. It's been there quite a while. And that's just to showcase mom and pop, grandpa, whoever had a drag race car here in Central Texas.
There you go. All the words out. All right, guys, one more time. We're going to go ahead and close out. But you guys stay tuned and go hit all the links that we'll put on this podcast. So until next time, you guys say peace.
Peace. See you guys.
We out.